Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the foggy voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice, with another food show as we continue ahead. We are an hour and a half into it, and it has been a lot of fun today. We've had a very busy program with a lot of territory covered. In case you missed it, we had a guy on who had gone to the Brick Oven Cafe, and he liked it, and he was wondering if there were any other dishes that were must-tries, and there is one. Actually, there's more than one, but this is the one that really stands out. Chicken Vesuvio, named for Vesuvius, that's the big volcano in Italy. So anyway, it's a good place to go, and it's even a nice-looking restaurant. It doesn't get talked about very much, though, and I think most people, if you told them, the Brick Oven Cafe, they'd know exactly where it is. It's not far from the airport out in Kenner. Anyway, we would love to talk with you about anything that you have on your mind about the eating scene in our city, which continually ranks number one. Whenever surveys are taken to see which restaurants around the country are the ones that are best liked by people who love to eat, we're always number one, all the time. Our number is 260. Well, there was one exception. There was this guy who was writing for, what magazine was it? It was a men's fashion magazine. And he had come down to New Orleans. This is a guy I knew very well. He's a food writer, and I had been at some events that he was attending to and got to know one another. Anyway, he came to New Orleans about 6 months after Hurricane Katrina, and went back home, wrote a column about how terrible New Orleans was and how it had become after the hurricane, like that was something that could be controlled. I was furious about that, and I told him so. And he said, well, I got to tell my listeners, my readers that. Okay. Just go somewhere else, because we are working and we're going to have this all fixed up, and indeed we have. I haven't thrown out this statistic in a while, but the day before Hurricane Katrina, we had 809 restaurants in New Orleans. We now have somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 to 1,600. It's a lot. People point to the restaurants that have closed in the last year and say, boy, that's really looking bad. It isn't, because we have more restaurants that have opened. All right, enough of that stuff. Do we have anybody on hold?
We do indeed.
Oh, we do. Who might it be?
We have Charles in New Orleans to lead us.
Charles. Charles, welcome to the food show.
John, thank you very much for taking my call.
I'm asking
my two questions, and then I'm going to listen to your response.
All right.
Recently read a survey saying that the majority of people would not send back a bad meal because they were embarrassed. Not that the meal was just bad, that they would be embarrassed to send it back. And what's your thoughts on the correct way of sending back a bad meal? And my second question is, on shark fin soup, is that a dish that's still being served, due to the controversy of the way they harvest the shark fins? And I'd like to get your take on that.
I have never seen that in any New Orleans restaurant. These show up in Chinese restaurants mostly, and also some other Asian restaurants. But that is something that never caught on, if it ever was here at all. That's something I would have paid attention to, but I it has not, to my knowledge, ever been on a menu. Not anytime lately, anyhow.
Oh, okay. What's your thoughts on the proper way to send a meal bag? Because not only is the meal bad, but the one reason was people felt that they were embarrassed. Maybe they thought they were going to hurt the chef's feelings or something. I don't know.
Well, the chef, believe me, has a tougher skin than you or I do put together. So that's nothing to worry about. Here's how I go about it whenever it happens. I tell the other people at the table that I excuse myself. I get up from the table, and I don't go to the bathroom. I ask around for the manager. And this is best accomplished while the problem is actually going on, like right in the middle of the meal. And I say, listen, everybody's in a good mood to be here tonight, but we have found that we can't seem to get forks. This was cold, and that steak was ordered medium well, and it came out medium rare, and specifically point out the things. And you don't ever use this phrase, we're never coming back here again. And it could, because the people owning the restaurant will think, if you say that, they will think, well, good riddance. Really, they don't. But if you're polite about it and you have something reasonable, most restaurateurs, I'd say just about all of them, really, they will act to do something right away. If you're a jerk, you will get, the same kind of commentary from them, and that's not going to get it done. And if push comes to shove, write them a letter after you get home, although that's less likely to have any results. I don't think there's any reason why you shouldn't complain if it's not up to the standards that you were expecting.
Mm-hmm. Just one other quick question popped in my mind while we're talking. There's a lot of people when you ask, like, if the fish is fresh, and then they tell you, yes, it's fresh frozen. Does it make any sense? Because
no, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, actually, because when you ask them, then you hear, well, the cost of seafood can only be kept fresh for X amount of days, and this way
that's
it
not even true. That's bunk. That's somebody trying to get off the hook of having to go out and find fresh fish every day. It's not easily done. So, that's not the way they should handle it.
Well, Tom, I thank you for your input, and I always appreciate listening to your show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. And who's over here on the blue phone?
That would be Jeff in Folsom.
Jeff, welcome. In Folsom, of all things. I'm halfway to Folsom, right here at the Coolwater Ranch. Hi there.
Yes. Hi, Tom. Great show. Your city's well-deserving of your show.
Thank you.
Anyway, appreciate what you do. I want to. I know coming to Folsom is like a trip to the Klondike for some people, but I want to tell you. Cancel this for. I'm on the phone here. But I'll tell you about a new restaurant out just out as you get into Folsom called Rue 25. It's an upscale. At least price wise. $20 to $30 to $40 entrees, and I just want to mention thanks for giving us the lowdown of Provence. I drew to silently mourn their loss. The show went all the way from La Provence to Red Lobster in the last half hour. But anyway, back to why I called it. So we went pâté, and so we lost our one pâté source. But this is a new place. I've only stopped in for the bar food, but they have pâté and beet, and it's upscale. It's in a rather utilitarian building, and they're having a very soft opening. They only opened like 2 weeks ago.
Well, no wonder I haven't heard of it. That's interesting. I don't know anything about it. This is the first news I've had, but I'm going to track it down. Route 25, you said?
R-O-U-X.
R-O-U-X. Oh, that's clever. Somebody's making a little joke there. That's good.
Yeah, it's right next to the Wacky Daiquiri. Can't miss it.
Okay.
I don't even know if they want anybody to know it's open yet, but they are there. But you know enough to not...
I don't think it's a good idea to go to brand new restaurants because they don't have their act together, and that includes even the major players like the Brennan's.
Right.
Just about
right.
every restaurant they've ever opened, it has had a rough time getting started. I mean, this is just the nature of the beast. So I put that on my list because we're always looking for new places on the North Shore, and that's closer than going to Madisonville. So
Again, might be a bit of an anachronism, or that's not the right term, but you got a $38 prime rib restaurant out in the Klondike there.
Yeah. Well,
just probably call your attention to it.
You know, there's I know personally a lot of people who have a good bit of property and are fairly well off in that area. So
I'm one of them who has a good bit of property and kind of maybe.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But yeah. So I kind of nod in fact. You know, no one I know, you might just do pretty well out here because there's some money out here.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the tip. I will look into it.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing what you think about it sometime.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling. See ya. It's the Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. 260-1870 is our telephone number. Boy, what a busy show today, and all kinds of things have come up. Just a real potpourri of a discussion about a whole bunch of different food issues. Do we have anybody there now, though?
Do you think you can handle more?
Oh, of course I can.
All right. Well, then Renee is here from River Ridge.
Oh, Renee, welcome to the Food Show.
Hi. Yesterday you were talking about, I think, spinach madeleine or crawfish madeleine.
Yeah.
And you said that you can't get the garlic cheese anymore.
Yeah.
I've heard that Zapardo's bought the recipe from Kraft. I don't know
really?
How true it is, but I've used their garlic cheese, and it's pretty close.
Hmm. That's interesting. You know, that would be that was some real thinking on whoever came up with that idea. That makes a lot of sense. And this is Zapardo's, and they have always run a tight ship over there, and they understand local tastes and local ingredients, so I'll check that out. Thank you for that tip, because this is, in case you're wondering, there's a dish called spinach madeleine. My connection with it is that every year, Thanksgiving Day, my wife's family comes to the house, and they bring a few things too, and that is always on the list, that dish. And a lot of people were really upset because one of the ingredients is this kind of cheesy kind of stuff that's in a glass jar, so you know just how good that can be. And I'd never thought much of it myself, but there were a lot of people that were just going bananas over it, as you know, could not get that cheese anymore. And I think, well, we'll just use some other kind of cheese. It's not the end of the world.
I used it for crawfish bread, and it was it was fabulous.
Okay, what's the proportion? This is the one that Zapardo's is doing.
I used whatever the recipe called for, the crawfish bread. It called for Velveeta, and I don't like Velveeta, so I used this instead, and it was really good.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Yeah, thanks for sharing that with us. That's one of those questions that comes up pretty regularly, about once every 6 months or so. Still got to answer them. It's the Food Show. Let's see, who's on the blue phone again?
We have Rick in Mandeville.
Rick, welcome.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I've thoroughly enjoyed your program for too many years. I've been dating myself over 20-something years. But anyway.
Well, we've been here for 30 years, actually, but close
enough.
I
listen to it. Very great program. But I'm calling you very briefly to give you some history behind Irene and Mike Zapardo's restaurants. I was a builder for all those back in the 72 and 73 era when they started. But they were very, very conscious of the ambiance first, but then they hired the chefs to come work there, and I got a taste of, I stayed in construction because running a restaurant is a very difficult thing.
Yes,
I watched
it is.
With the chefs, and it's like dealing with musicians and artisans. Well, my artisans built them, but they started on by Bromont on Lakeside, Lakeside Shopping Center, and it was called Mike. I worked for Mike, but his wife was the one that did all of the cooking and sort of. And her name was Irene. The sister's name was DiPietro. The whole family, they were great, great cooks from Sicily. All recipes were hand down from Sicily.
Mm-hmm.
Probably modified them. And I built the one on you talked about the one on in the Kenner on that corner there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was their food is there and Fausto's is really authentic too. I'm not giving them.
Oh, Fausto's. Fausto's is on my list of among the most underrated restaurants.
A lot of
people have never been there before, but it is really consistently delicious. I love going there.
You know all the food. The food, they come from the same family tree.
All over the place, yeah. Texas. Yeah. Good
the
stuff.
The hardest part was always getting the chef's...
A table.
not on a table, but keep the chef's... temperaments at a level that would not reach into the dining room, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, that's kind of common in restaurants anyway.
But you know, when he left that area, not the restaurants, they went in and bought Tony's Spaghetti House on Bourbon Street, and then Renata opened the coffee house there in the corner. So they got food running through their brains, fingers, genes.
Well, I've heard worse ideas. Okay, well, thanks for sharing all that with us.
Well, thank you. Sure. I really enjoy you got a quality show.
Thank you. Isn't that nice to hear? I love quality.
Yes, sir.
All right, see you later. It's the food show.
Have a great day. Thank you for taking my
Let's pick up the platinum phone over here, and who's there?
Bobby in River Ridge.
Bobby, come on in.
How you doing today, Tom?
You know, I'm the same old guy doing the same old things.
Yeah, love your show. Yeah. Listen, just with Mardi Gras fast approaching, I always have a memory that comes up for me this time of year. My career took me to Florida back in the early 80s, where I met my bride, and she was intrigued about the city and wanted to come for Mardi Gras. So we came, I believe it was 1985, if I'm not mistaken, and stayed at the Royal Sonesta. And if you recall back then, Lundi Gras evening wasn't real busy with parades like it is now. There wasn't a whole lot going on in the city. It was like a night off. So
That's
we took
true.
That to, for our dining out night. And she was intrigued about Antoine's, and the concierge at the hotel said, "Well, they're not answering their phone, but if you go knock on the door and look like you belong, they'll let you in." And that's what happened.
Right. Yeah.
And they took us in the back room there, and we enjoyed an amazing Chateaubriand for two. It was just delightful. Everything was perfect. But the next thing you know, they put together a long table, and in comes Rex and his entourage for the celebration dinner.
Wow.
And right. And I was trying to explain that to her, what that means, what that signifies to a citizen here. It's a big deal. And she very graciously went over to the table and asked him to sign an Antoine's menu for her. And she got it, because as he did so, she genuflected next to him, and flashbulbs were going off. Yes, that's how long ago it was. And
now there is somebody who's playing Mardi Gras the way it should be played.
It was just still to this day as good a memory as I'll ever have. But then the little thing at the end, you know, after she came back, you know, gleaming with her signed menu, all of a sudden Rex walks over to our table. I was able to shake his hand, and he set a stack of his personal stash of doubloons on our table. Here's a head start for tomorrow.
Wow, that's terrific.
It was quite the memory. Still is, as you can see. You know, and I only tell that to people who will get it, because
with good reason, because to have gone to Antoine's on that night, or even that week, Right. You are really begging on just getting lost in the crowd because they have all those carnival organizations coming in and pack the restaurant. And let's just say that's not the best possible time to go there. But you certainly seem to have showed all the stuff that you hope you see when you go to a place like that.
Well, and it was, I say once again, it was something that neither one of us will forget. And we still have our stash from that night. So good talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you. See ya. Isn't that cool? Bye. 260-1870 is our telephone number. Give us a call, and we're still taking calls, aren't we? Aren't we? Sure we are. Or are we?
We can, if you like.
We can. Yeah, well, let's do it. Well, should I take a break? You need a break?
We got a couple more minutes.
Okay. Well, then let's talk to somebody else. Coming up over here on the mahogany phone.
Alex and Harvey.
Real mahogany wood. You don't see that too much on a phone. Did you say who? Al?
Alex and Harvey.
Alex. Alex.
How you doing?
Welcome to the food show.
Thank you. Last week, you were speaking to someone about a new restaurant that opened up that serves mainly chicken.
Yeah.
Do you recall that?
Yeah, I sure do. It's called...
I caught the back end of this conversation. That's why I'm calling.
Yeah, well, fair enough. It's no problem there. Anyway, it's called Picnic Provisions and Whiskey is the name of it. And what they mainly serve is salads and sandwiches and quite a few chicken dishes and not a whole lot of anything else.
Location.
And the way I understood it is that they were going to do different ideas every, month or so. And just come up with a new bunch of recipes. Now, the story behind this place, and the only reason I think it has gotten any attention at all, is that it's T. Martin, who's one of the proprietors of Commander's Palace. And then you have Daryl Reginelli, who owns the Reginelli, in partnership with the Brennans, of Reginelli's Pizza Places. And then you have the chef from Commander's Palace also owns a piece of this. And they've put this together, and I went there with my daughter, who's in her 20s, because I had a feeling that she would get the place much more than I would. And I got to say, I went in there with that in mind. Maybe that's why it happened. But I thought, I can't figure out what that restaurant is trying to do. She said it was okay. She liked the salads and the chicken and all that. So it's on the corner of Magazine Street and... State Street, I'm pretty sure. It's either State Street or Nashville, but I think it's State Street at the corner of Magazine. You know you're in the name. Are you still there?
Yeah, in the name of the restaurant again?
It's called, and it's a funny name. It's Picnic Provisions and Whiskies.
Okay, that is a strange name. Okay.
Isn't it, though? And
thank you.
After you go, call me up and tell me what you thought of it.
I will do it. Thank you, Tom.
All right. Thank you. See you. Most of the things that the Brennans touch turns to gold, but not that one. Not by my standards, anyway. And now we reach over and we grab a phone that is made out of air. Hard to believe. Hard to do. But here it is. Who is it?
Mike in Houma.
Mike in Houma. Welcome to the food show.
Hey, good afternoon, Tom. A great show and really enjoy it.
Thank
I need some advice. I work for a national company, and people are always contacting me asking for restaurant recommendations in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have my favorite list, but doing research, would you recommend any websites? You know, a lot of times you go to different national websites, and they don't have full recommendations or descriptions. So I really need some advice there, and I can tell you who I recommended, but it's a lot of pressure to be an ambassador for New Orleans food, and your show makes it so hard to keep up with my New Year's diet.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry to have done that to you, but I have the same problem, even worse. Well, you got to know that the website that I would recommend to you is my website, which is...
Okay, cool, okay.
NoMenu.com, NOMENU.com. I publish a newsletter in there every weekday and have been since 1977. So we have lots and lots and lots of backstories, and there are restaurant listings, and also a lot of recipes, too, for those who are looking at cooking their own. So nomenu.com, and just play around with it a while, and you'll find all kind of stuff in there.
Okay. And then can I ask another question?
Sure, go ahead.
I just had a cooking school experience in Dallas, and it was just so much fun. And in New Orleans, can you give advice or recommendations? Because I want to get some friends together and go to that. It's just a lot of fun cooking together. So any experiences or advice you can give there?
Yeah, there is there's one that seems to come and go, and I'm not quite I'm not sure exactly what kind of state it's in, but it was originally called the New Orleans it was the New Orleans Heritage Cooking Store. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name because they closed for a while and then they came back. It's on Carondelet Street in the general vicinity of Lee Circle. They have one of these deals where you go in there, they have name chefs. I'm talking about the likes of Frank Brightson and Susan Spicer and people like that. So the best of the best. They do a cooking demo, and at the end of the cooking demo, you get to eat this food that you just prepared, and they open up a few bottles of wine. Now, that's the good part. The bad part, although it's not unreasonable, is that the price for this is usually somewhere between $100 and $150 a person. But it takes, like, most of the afternoon and well into the evening, so it's very social. You know, it's not a real studied kind of, well, now we're going to reduce this down to the, you know, all of that jazz. It you could do it as a date kind of a thing. There's probably the longest running is the New Orleans cooking school. That is on St. Louis, I think. If it's not St. Louis, it's one block over from there, but right around the Royal Orleans Hotel. And they have always been a cooking school, but it is more designed for visitors to the city than local people. And it's kind of commercial, but the recipes they'll do for you are really good. So it's worth doing, and it does give you a good insight as to what Creole and Cajun cuisine is all about. So that's a good one. And then, but we don't have very many of these. They come and they go, and most of what we have in terms of cooking schools at the moment are designed for people who want to get into the industry, to be chefs and to be restaurant managers and all that. And that's probably not what you're looking for.
Oh, yeah, just a fun experience. I mean, some of the stuff we cooked and ate, it was really fun, you know, working together. And so I was going to put something together for that for some friends, you know, and I just thought we'd have a great time. So thanks for the
There's very little of that that's going on, and it seems like a missed deal to me, but what they tell me is that you can't make a nickel at it. That's what I keep hearing from these guys. So there you are.
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for calling.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate the show.
All these appreciative people today. I'm not used to this. This is The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. You can hear this program or one a whole lot like it every weekday. We're on the air from 3 till 5 in the afternoon, Monday through Friday. It's on 105.3 FM. HD2. Now that HD thing is going to trip you up a little bit unless you are pretty well put together in terms of electronics. It's radio of the future. It's really a great sound. The sound is incredible. It reaches out farther away from the city than most restaurants and most radio stations do. And 105.3 FM, and then you go to HD2. Now you can do this if you have a fairly new car, like 3, 4, 5 maybe years old. By that point, they were putting HD radios into cars, and you may well have one. I know all of the cars that I and my family are driving, they all have it, so it's not that hard. But that's where we are during the week. And but otherwise, it's a show just like this, except we don't get nearly as many calls. So do wish you'd tune us in sometime. 105.3 FM HD2, Monday through Friday, 3 till 5 in the afternoon. And if you get there too late for 3 to 5, we run the whole thing over again from 5 until 7. So you get two shots at it. And the whole thing is on podcasts, too. So you can just download that from radio.com. And plenty of other places you can listen to us. And I appreciate any second that you do. 260-1870. Anybody hanging?
We need to take a break.
All right. We'll come back with more of the food show in a moment. But first, please, this. Welcome back. You are listening to The Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. We're having a busy, busy day over here on the Big 870 WWL. This program is on Saturdays mostly. Saturdays from usually from noon till 3. Sundays we turn up once in a while, and kind of like this. We were on 1 till 3 today. And during the week, 105.3 FM, 3 till 7. And only in New Orleans will you find that much broadcasting given over to the subject of food. It is uniquely ours. There's nobody that can touch us in that department. 260-1870 is our number. Anybody hanging?
Yes, sir.
Who might it be?
We have Blaze in Madisonville.
Blaze, welcome to the food show.
Yes, Tom, I'm calling from the purple phone, by the way.
Oh, are you? Well, that's what you think. No, you've been fooled. It is the Indigo.
Okay, I'm sorry. You can tell I'm a long-time listener by that comment.
Yeah.
really think, without trying to make a false compliment or blow smoke up your skirt, I think you're one of the finest. I've never met you personally, but I've always enjoyed your show tremendously. When I turned on today, I heard you talking. But I had a question. My neighbor put some pork out, and they let it salt, okay? Now, I'm not eating it, but my wife ate it. She got sick. It salted it. It sort of abscessed a little bit. It's, like, nasty. And they say that you can salt meat and you can eat it. And I'm like, that's crazy. There was, like, these little yellow worms coming off of it. And I'm
Are we talking about eating raw pork?
Well, they said that in their country they hang it up and salt it. And I'm like, I don't know if it's humidity here. They're from Burma. I don't think it's called Burma anymore. It's another name of that country.
Yeah.
You know, change the name of his country. So anyway, I'm looking at it right now. I'm over his house, and my wife's sick, and these little yellow, like little, they're not worms, they're like little bugs almost. They're all over it, and the thing has gotten a lot bigger, and it's like been out for 4 days. Is this guy out of his, I mean, you would not advise eating this.
I think what you have there is some trichinosis, how do you put it into that?
You mean jerky boys?
But the what?
You mean jerky boys?
Yeah, well, could be. But the idea of serving raw pork is idiocy.
Right.
I mean, that just doesn't make any sense at all.
Well,
you want
I'm
pork?
I'm going to take my wife to the dock in the box. She's got a very, very bad upset stomach. They ate it with some rice last night.
And
she's been sick, and I just wanted to call and ask you, you know, I'm going to try a little bit of it just to see. She's trying to get me to try it.
Don't bother. We already know this is bad news. So dump
it.
It's
kind of like bad milk. Try this. You know, you've heard that before. Here, this tastes bad. Try it. So I'm not going to take it. Thanks for your advice.
When in doubt, throw it out. And that's the truth. All right. Moving right along, we have, who do we have?
We have Mary
and
Carrollton.
I'm sorry, who?
Mary and Carrollton.
Mary, welcome to the food show.
Hello.
Hello there. Come on in.
Okay. You were talking yesterday about two restaurants. One was in Fleur-de-Lis. I'm not sure if it's Tony Angelo's, but I think the man died or retired. You know that famous Italian restaurant on Fleur-de-Lis?
Yeah.
What was the old name?
Tony Angelo's.
Right. And then you said the new name. What is the new name of the restaurant?
The place that is there now in that location is Rizzuto's.
Rizzuto's,
they have no connection at all with Tony Angelo's. None whatsoever.
Wait. Who was it? I thought there was a cousin or somebody that worked in the kitchen that had the recipe. Oh, they moved to another.
That was what I was going to tell you next, but I'm glad you said it because it saved me a little bit of time. But
okay.
Here's the deal. There was one guy in particular who was Tony Angelo's nephew, if I remember it right. Anyway, he not only was family, but he had worked in the restaurant for years and years and years, so he knew all of the recipes and no problem with that. And since you know, Mr. Tony passed away, I'm sure you knew that. But
what's the name of the new restaurant?
The name of the new restaurant. Now, wait a minute. They have a lot of the same recipes. It's what you will remember having had at Tony Angelo's.
Right.
But it's never going to be exactly the same.
Right.
Anyway, they're calling it Nephew. N-E-P-H-E-W. Nephew.
Do you know what location of the city it's in?
Yes. It's on more or less on the corner of West Metairie. Not West Esplanade, but West Metairie at Clearview. It's right around there. And if you go, call them up and make a reservation. It is very busy all the time.
Okay, can I ask you one other question? You talked about this restaurant across the lake, well, on your side of the lake.
Yeah.
They were famous for omelets, and I think it had the word spoon in it.
They were famous for what?
Omelets.
Oh, omelets, yeah. Yeah, it's called the not the greasy spoon. It's called the fat spoon.
Fat spoon. So yes, if I want to call them, would one of them be in Mandeville or Covington?
One of them is in Covington, the fat spoon, and the other one is kind of midway between the two. It's on Highway 59. I think it's in Mandeville.
Okay, I'll get the information to give me the fat spoon in Covington. Well, I listen to the show all the time, and I'm getting hungry.
Oh, well, that's the whole idea.
Okay, thank you so much. As long as I don't gain too much weight.
Yeah, that's tough luck. You're tough luck. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. It's the Food Show, 260-63. Ooh, I almost gave the wrong number. 260-1870 is our telephone number. I do a little feature on our program every day about food history. And most of the time they're a little much. But since we're so busy here, I have one, but it's a really good one, and I can tell you about it very briefly. It comes from a category on my newsletter called Catfish Through History. The Treaty of Paris ended the French and Indian War, which you probably know from your grammar school history lessons. Was the French and Indian War was kind of like the prelude. That's it. The prelude of our independence in the United States. So you had the Treaty of Paris, and George Washington was part of that. And then you had the Revolutionary War in 1763. But this treaty, among other effects it had, created an international boundary between the British American colonies and the Spanish Louisiana at Pass Manchac, which is where Middendorf's is now. And so that was at time an international boundary. You would have needed a passport if they had passports back then. I wonder what the ordeal would be of getting a catfish through the customs there. I don't know. We'll have to look into that someday. This is the Food Show. Anybody on hold?
Yes.
We're having a very busy show today. We haven't had one like this in a while.
John in Metairie.
John, welcome. Come on in.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you for calling.
I enjoy your shows, and I enjoy going to new restaurants, and I hadn't for a while, so I wrote down a few of them. And yesterday we decided to try one called The Pharmacy.
Where is that?
Yes. It's on Bank Street in the 3500. It was a total surprise and fantastic. It's Vietnamese owned and operated. It's noted for its chicken wings and hamburgers.
Well, this is very interesting. You know, that whole neighborhood there has been attracting a lot of ethnic restaurants, especially Asian restaurants, and especially Vietnamese restaurants. So that's all of that rings true. But I haven't been there yet.
I couldn't find it at first. It's a single shotgun house with a kitchen, with a bar open, and probably about 15 tables. And as we were walking, I talked to somebody going out. They said it's fantastic, best hamburger ever, but you got to wait. And I didn't know what they meant by wait, but we had to wait about 20, 30 minutes for a table.
Oh, gosh.
And as far as hamburgers, I you know, my best are either company burger or Port of Call and a quarter. Mm, and this one is almost ranked right there with them.
No
it,
kidding.
It was great. The
wings Tell me the name of it again. Tell me the name
pharmacy.
Again.
Pharmacy.
The pharmacy. So what they're playing, they're playing around with the fact that they're pretty close to the new medical center that's across
I
the street.
I guess so. I guess
yeah,
so.
That must
but,
be
boy,
deal.
They need a bigger place because it's back.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Try it out. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. You know?
All right. I'll go send my wife there. She loves those hamburger places.
Okay, right. Then.
Thanks
well,
for
look,
calling.
You know, again, thank you for your stuff. I use your no menu all the time, so thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice hearing from you. And somebody else told me about that place, but that's the first actual facts I have on it. There's going to be a big change in the restaurant scene right around there. All of those medical facilities that are going in on Canal at Carrollton. Let me rephrase that. On Canal Street at Galvez is more or less where it is, between Galvez and Broad Street. And that is a big, big development and brings a lot of people down with a pretty good money coming in. So we have something from that new era. This is The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. I've got a couple of special things coming up. One of them is this Tuesday. Let me get my calendar here and make sure I'm telling you the right date. It's on the 12th. Let's just say that. That's Tuesday, yep. We will be going to the Roosevelt Hotel. Our radio station here, WWL, was ensconced in the Roosevelt Hotel for many years. All of the broadcasts came from there, right from the hotel. And they moved out, I think, in the 1990s, if I'm not mistaken, 1980s. And it they are celebrating their 125th anniversary, and they asked us if we would mind going in there and make like it's way back then. And I said, yep, yeah, we sure will do that, because that's right up my alley. You know, I'm big band and all of those funny commercials that radio stations used to do back then. And big, fat announcers coming out and saying things like, this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, you know, things like that. And anyway, that is on the way, and we expect to see that pretty soon. My point of that was, oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, on the 12th, that's Tuesday, we're going to broadcast our program from 3 until 5, and then I'm going to hang on and have dinner in the Fountain Lounge, which, despite the name, is not a bar. They do have a bar, but it's really a full-fledged major restaurant that's the main restaurant in the Roosevelt Hotel. We will be there. If you'd like to join me for dinner, I'll have a table there for my friends, which would include you, and we can shoot the breeze and talk about stuff. And they have good live music, too. So that's this Tuesday night, the 12th. If you want to make this a double deal, the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra is doing a big band, Glenn Miller-style concert right across the street at the Roosevelt, from the Roosevelt Hotel at the Orpheum. So my wife loves that kind of stuff, and so do I, so we're going to go over to that too. Anyway, all that at the Roosevelt Hotel, and you know where that is. It's on Canal Street. It's one of the landmarks of our city, the Roosevelt. 260-1870.
We need a break.
We'll be back with more of The Food Show after first please this. WWL Radio New Orleans, WWL FM HD1, Kenner, New Orleans. The news is next over most of these same frequencies from CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Good night. Have a good dinner.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.